today on Real Radio.
God is on your side. He is with you. And his plan is to bring about joy in your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Worship, Pastor Jack continues in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 28. The Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them to be joyful always in spite of opposition and hardship. If heaven's a place of joy and God is the reason and the giver of that joy, then why are we so often joyless in this life? The Christian who worships God in spirit and truth cannot help but have joy because their focus is on the path towards heaven. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that when our joy is gone, it's because our focus is wrong. The Bible tells us that when we pray and give thanks continually, our joy will be full. When we're faithful in our conduct and blameless in our walk, our spirit will overflow. And now, here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I mean, I will say things like, Lord, it's too hot for me today. I wish you'd turn down the temperature or at least make me feel better in the heat. I don't like the heat. General conversation. We don't have to go, our blessed and holy one, thou that inhabits eternity. How omnipotent is thy awesomeness and thy glory which transcends the universe. God's going, who is that? Who's he talking to? Talk to him. The word suggests two lovers communicating. You can't get them apart. Constantly talking. Constantly loving. I had an appointment with a young couple this week, and I said, you know, they're getting serious about each other. And I said, you know, it's obvious. He's very quiet. You're very talkative. I pointed to the girl. I said, can you handle his silence? His quietness. I love it. She said, I have no problem with it because I can talk for hours to myself. And I like that. It's true. God, I don't need to talk to anybody else. I can talk to you all day long. What do I need to call for an appointment for? I've got you. I've got my Bible. The Holy Spirit lives in me. What else do I need? I will worship. I will go to the house of the Lord and I will worship. Our joy will begin to happen. Talk to him. It's amazing. Pray without ceasing. And what happens as you begin to do this, it is a spiritual practice, you begin to do this and it becomes a part of your life. And what it does do is it causes verse 18. In everything give thanks. Doesn't that sound absolutely impossible? If it does, you're not worshiping. In everything give thanks. You'll hear people say, God bless them. I love to hear it myself, especially when I'm in the flesh. Don't worry, Jack. The Lord's in it. Don't worry, Jack. He's on the throne. Ah, yes, can you pull the knife out? Thank you. You're right. I forgot. The oil light came on the car. And you know, I'm thinking. I look in the rearview mirror for smoke trails, right? Engine, fry. That's my first thought. Fry. Oh, no, I can't believe. And you know, the kids or the wife will say, let's pray. You don't understand. The oil light's on. There is no prayer. I mean, what are you going to do? Oil come down out of heaven and fill up the case? Let's go. We're not going to make it. We got to pull over. See, we know too much about the situation. She doesn't know anything about it. She's got the faith to pray. We hear that noise. That's it. Let's pray. Oh, that's ridiculous. I kid you not. Chuck Smith tells a story of a girl who wanted to go to church, to Calvary Chapel. She had just accepted the Lord on Monday night, and it was Thursday night, and she wanted to go hear Chuck, and she didn't have any gas in her car, and she took the brand new believer. She said, God, fill up my car. Jim, remember the story? Fill up my car. She takes the garden hose and puts it in the gasoline tank and turns on the hose, fills it up with water, puts the cap on, and drove to church and told Chuck, and Chuck says, I was worried sick all night that she was ever going to make it back home. God got her there on water. And Chuck, in his great faith, oh no, oh no, how are you going to get home? She goes, the same way I got here. Isn't that amazing? In everything, give thanks. And you and I say, oh yeah, everything's a little too big for this. Those are the things that God is saying, I want you to thank me for. How many of you are sick, dying, broke, frustrated, troubled, irritated? What else? If I missed you, can you shout it out? God is on your side. He is with you. And His plan is to bring about joy in your life. Yeah, well, He doesn't know my girlfriend. He does too. And it may be the joy He's working out in your life is for you to live without her. How can that be joyful? Well, just trust God. And by the way, give thanks for everything. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. It's a good thing. Psalm 37:4, my favorite psalm in the whole world, and one of my favorite verses, talking about this love affair with God. Psalm 37:4 says, delight. That's it. Delight. That's a great word. The word means to be soft and yieldable. It's like this. Delight yourself in the Lord, says Psalm 37:4. It's like, yes, Lord, whatever you want. Go to Africa, okay, and then where from there? Come and follow me. Sure. That awesome relationship. Doesn't matter. My Lord is asking me. I'll do it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Listen, people, are you ready for this? If you are delighting yourself in the Lord, God will put upon your heart and in your life desires, though you may not understand them, that are pleasing to Him for a purpose. Can you believe that? Wow. He does it. Do you see why now you can give thanks for everything in Christ? I can thank Him now. How do you know? Because I love Him. He loves me. I'm delighting myself in Him. I want to be all that He wants me to be. I want to know more. And so this crisis that's going on and these desires in my heart, somehow He's working something out. And I could go on and on all day long with stories where people came into the office and said, I'll never make it through this. And then a month or a year later, they're saying, I wouldn't have changed a thing. How do you explain that, you guys? Because verses 16 through 18 are true. Just absolutely true. Psalm 21:2. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. That produces joy. Psalm 145:19. He will fill the desires of those who are honoring of him. Beautiful news. Look at verses 19 to 22. How should a church worship? Well, it is by being careful about worship. It is to be careful about worship. He says, verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. The word quench means don't put out the fire or don't pour out water upon the embers. Don't put the fire out. And this is very, very interesting. Don't quench. Do not extinguish the fire. The Holy Spirit here is symbolized by fire. How do you know that? You see where it says don't quench the Spirit in your Bible? It's supposed to be, it is in the original, a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. You know, there's people running around in services. I don't want to get too far off this thing. I don't have the time to, but there are people running around saying, don't quench the Spirit, man. It's not a capital S. The lowercase s. What they're saying is, you know, this is the way I worship God. A little bit of drugs, rock and roll, astral projection. Hey, doesn't the Bible say, man, don't quench the Spirit? Hey, pal, let me tell you something. It's the Holy Spirit. Don't pour fire on the Holy Spirit. Don't quench Him. Now, Paul is given this instruction because the church didn't have the Bible. They had the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament scriptures yet. And he's warning them, listen, you guys, don't quench the moving of the Holy Spirit in the church. Be careful. We need to remember this today. Don't quench the Spirit. Symbolized in fire. Why? Because fire is warm. Fire brings light. Fire brings power. Fire also brings judgment. But the Holy Spirit at work in the church will result in the meeting of the people and all of us being melted together. Our devotional life will be a life that is committed to the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit will burn in our lives. We will be lanterns and lights in the world. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. And that word stir up means to move the coals around and create the fire again. Do not quench the Spirit. I want to say this. The Word Faith Movement. Have your attention now? The Word Faith Movement uses this verse all the time, and they say, don't quench the Spirit. Hank Henegraaff is quenching us. He's quenching the Spirit. And their message is, God wants you wealthy. God wants you rich. God wants you to never be sick. God wants, listen, I'm going to quote somebody now, and you're going to get all upset with me, and you can just save your energy. I didn't say it, but I'll quote him, and you can hear it yourself on cassette. One of the Word Faith founding gurus, who I think, if you look at his doctrine, is a Mormon undercover, says, we are God's, and it is weak for us to say, thy will be done. He said, if I'm a God and I am, I pray my will be done. Does that offend you, or does that bother you a little bit? This man is on the radio today at multiple hours today, holding a Bible and saying he's a Christian, and he's an absolute wolf. And the world is falling and going after that story. And he's like, I can't believe you said that in church. Where else are you going to hear this? Where else are you going to hear this? The Bible says there's one God. And Revelation 1, 17 and 18 says that he died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead. And he's alive forevermore, by the way. And he's the only I am. That guy says, when Jesus Christ said, I am, I look square him in the eyes and I say, and this is on tape, I am too. And when I heard that, I had the tape in my car. I moved away from the dashboard. Word Faith Movement. Don't quench the Spirit, brother. Listen, these ushers have been trained to quench any kind of spirit that guy promotes. I have no problem quenching your spirit if it's not biblical. But we, God help us, will never quench the Holy Spirit. And the way to do it is to get unbiblical at worship. If you want to bark, if you want to roar like a lion, if you want to scream like an eagle, you can go over the hills here to our neighboring city next door, or you can go to the zoo. But you're not going to do it here because it will quench the Holy Spirit. How do you know that? Because Jesus says those who worship God will worship God in spirit and in truth. In the Holy Spirit and in the revealed Word of God. That's why God gave us the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. To teach us all about prophesying. To teach us all about healing. To teach us all about tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And the gift of faith and the gift of miracles and on and on. It's all written there with exacting detail. It's all there because God is the God of order and he says, I want all things in my church to be done decently and in order. He's a wonderful Lord. He's a good God. Third and final point about us being a church that worships is in verses 23 to 28, and that is by being faithful in our conduct. How do we worship God? By being faithful in our conduct. Real quick, there are people here in this body. When we started, it was February 9th, 1991, Unit 14 across the street, 2,720 square feet, 144 chairs, 3 tons of air conditioning. There are people serving this service across the street or here in this building who have been doing it since February 9th, 1991. And they have to take vacation time. And sometimes they still make it back to do their Sunday service to your kids. They love it. Conduct. Joy. You see, they're not saying, oh man, I can't believe this. I've been doing this since February 9th, 1991. God help me. They're saying, there's nothing on earth I'd rather do. It is the joy of my heart. Can you believe that serving your child can be joy? No, I can't believe it. Conduct. We will become like the God or gods we worship. Living at the altar will alter our living. But what altar are we living at? Worshiping at the altar will change our lives. And look what he says here. He says in verse 23, now may the God of all, or excuse me, the God of peace himself, circle the word, sanctify you completely. Well, how complete? And may your whole spirit, soul, and body. Does it say spirit, soul, and body in your Bible? Are you a spirit, soul, and body? The Bible says you are. Just remember that. Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Real quick, very important doctrine. We're going to have to end with this. Sanctification. May the God himself sanctify you. I love it. He's going to do it. He sanctifies you. Well, what does sanctify mean? Jot it down. It means to be set apart from evil, from the world, to good unto God. To be set apart. This podium is set apart for Sundays and Wednesdays. That's all it does. It's sanctified for them. Okay? There are three facets or three events to sanctification. You're going to want to jot them down because you're involved in it, pal, right now, if you're a Christian. And guess what? Even if you're not, but you're going to become one, you're involved in it right now. Watch this. 1 Peter 1, 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Listen to this. You are first of all sanctified by God even before you were ever saved. God has set you apart. Well, that's pretty neat. Watch this. 1 Peter 1, 2 says that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit. God knew when you were going to accept Jesus Christ. He knew all along. And so he set you apart. That's why you didn't die that night when that car went through that intersection. You were set apart to come into the relationship of the Lord. Some of you are not saved here this morning. And you go, why am I even here? Because you're probably sanctified. He's been working on you and things have come about. Maybe somebody invited you or somehow you got hogtied to come here, but you're here. God is saying, hey, man, I love you. I want to give your life a purpose and a hope. And I've been dogging you for your life. So why don't you come on home? Well, coming on home is the second thing that God does. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. He redeems our spirit. For by one offering, that is Jesus Christ, he himself has perfected forever those who are sanctified. But the word in the Greek is at one point in time. It means this. Hebrews chapter 10 again, I think around verses 9 or 10, says that we are sanctified. It means that the moment you accepted Jesus Christ, listen, this is fantastic. Have you ever seen people with bumper stickers that says Christians are not perfect, just forgiven? It kind of bothers me. It kind of sounds like it's a license to go do something silly, but I know where they're coming from. But it's true. Christians are not perfect, but they are forgiven. And the moment you accepted Jesus Christ, the sanctification process, God took you, the forever you, and put you into heaven, so to speak, concerning your salvation. And listen, Mr. and Mrs., it's a done deal, pal. You are saved based upon his sanctification. Well, I don't feel saved sometimes. That takes us to number three. That's our body and who we are. John 17, 17, Jesus says, Lord, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That is our day-to-day Christian growth as believers. Are you stronger now than you were last year? That is your practical sanctification. You're growing. But are you completely sanctified? Yeah, you're saved. You're going to heaven. That's done. That's settled. Well, what about before I came to Christ? You were sanctified then too. God was hunting you down. Then he saved you forever. And now, where the rubber meets the road, he's working on you every day. Isn't that neat? Well, when will it be all done? Look at the answer. At the end of verse 23, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You mean I'm going to have to battle with this lust, this thought in my mind, or these pictures, or this anger? Yeah, you'll get more and more and more victory over it, but it will not be completely gone until Jesus shows up. And that's good news. So, what does he say to us who are worshiping believers? He, verse 24, who calls you is faithful, and he is going to do it. Jot it down quickly, Psalm 138, 8. I will perfect that which concerns you. I will not forsake the work of my hands. And Philippians 1, 6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has God started anything in your life? He will complete it. You can delay it, but he'll complete it. You can make it rougher for him, but he'll complete it. You're his, and nothing's going to change that. We could go on and on. We're out of time. We can't. And there will be no clocks in heaven. But then there will be no need for us to be taught there either. So maybe that's why there's no clocks there. Let's pray. Father, wow. Lord, this message has awakened my heart to the need of worshiping you more. And in a moment, we're going to close in a song. And we can sing it from the bottom of our hearts with our eyes closed, maybe to help us focus on you. Or we can lip words that we can't even memorize while we're thinking about the rump roast or the shopping list or the blade to the edger. And be guilty of what A.W. Tozer said, that we Christians don't tell lies anymore, we just sing them in church. Lord, may that not be for us. May we learn to be worshipers. May we understand why we lift our hands. The moment we do, we're saying, this is a prayer unto you, God. And your scripture says to lift the hands, making it a prayer. So, Father, we pray that you would galvanize this church, wrap it up and rivet it down in worship. Lord, we could talk on this topic in conferences and seminars, and it will be an absolute academic event until I worship you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Worship. Thanks for listening. And you know, a thankful heart keeps its eyes on the Lord and is always open for all that the Lord has to give. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Here's something that we'd love you to do. Go to YouTube and search for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel. Search for that and then subscribe if you would. And every time Pastor Jack comes out with something new on YouTube, you'll get a notification and you can head on over and see what's going on. Pastor Jack's got some great stuff on YouTube. If you like listening to him on the radio, you're going to like his videos too, I promise you that. Don't forget to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.